Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another week of the RevMD podcast. This week, we're going to talk all about SOPs, standard operating procedures. You guys know I'm a pathologist, and this is such a critical part of running operations of a laboratory, really also as much as for your medical billing in your practice. So SOPs, we're going to talk about this week. We're going to talk about the top ones for you to consider writing with your staff, rolling out with your employees so that these are something that is easy to follow, standardized, and something you can train your staff with. So for those of you who don't know, we own a full-service medical billing company called National Revenue Consulting. I had a good friend let me know last week that he loved the podcast, but that my listeners probably actually didn't know that we own this medical billing company. We provide and really focus on a reliable but very data-driven service. So if you guys are looking for support, whether it's with your medical billing or coding audits or credentialing, we have staff members that can help with any number of those things. And we really use the data from your medical billing practice to help support operational decisions in your office. That's really, you know, our niche is really combining those two things. We have a limited number of spots for practices each year. We're not trying to be the big monster medical billing company. We've just really tailored to specific types of practices who really are engaged in growing their practice, engaged in using the medical billing data to make really solid decisions for your business. And that's really been our focus. So certainly reach out if you're looking for a new medical billing company. info@nationalrevenueconsulting.com or head over to our website, nationalrevenueconsulting.com. All right, now we're going to get to the fun part. We're going to get to talk about SOPs. And I know this may not be the most thrilling topic, but I'm telling you, you're going to walk away with some nuggets that you can bring to your office, sit down with your office manager, and really help craft the story around where do you guys need to be as you standardize your processes, as you understand what's going on, as you tweak things to make it more improved for your medical billing process so that you can look at those metrics, watch them improve, and watch your revenue grow. So first, the benefits of creating standard operating procedures that you can use for your office are really three things. Number one is that you're going to end up with a standard process that is documented that everybody can read and agree to. And this is a perfect time for you to outline, okay, what does this process look like today? What are some tweaks we want to make? What are some differing of opinions we need to settle so that everybody's doing things the same way? And number two, when something isn't going well, right, because you're following your billing metrics every month, when something isn't going well, you then have the ability to go to one source of truth, that standard operating procedure, right, the SOP, to evaluate, okay, what's going on currently? Are people actually following that? Or do we need to make changes? And then you make those changes and then use that as the guide to train everybody. And number three, and this is really my favorite part, because you guys all know I run labs, and that's, you know, my number one thing is, you know, keeping things and decreasing variation. But the number three thing is that when you have staff turnover, that you don't have to worry about this, you know, kind of messy retraining of new employees, right? Because maybe you're rushed, or maybe, you know, different people are training that new employee. If you have one SOP, training and competencies, which is what we call it in the lab world, is all going to be the same. And so if you can have an SOP for your billing processes, and we're going to go over some examples of those, then you can really safeguard yourself that when you lose staff or when you lose employees and new ones come on board, you're training those individuals the exact same process that everybody else has been doing. And it's easier to also train them. In our own company, in our own personal business, we create SOPs for literally everything. And not only do we create written SOPs, but the staff actually create videos that help outline a process, especially if it's something that's on a computer that you need to kind of visualize. And then you take the links of those videos and you embed them into the Word document. So then you have a policy for managing your AR, you know, for us specifically, right? We have policies and procedures around managing AR, or a standard operating procedure for how different practices manage their billing, how do we interact with a practice? Because each practice is unique. And as part of our onboarding guide, when we take on new practices, we're really outlining that. What's going on in this practice? How do we make sure that, you know, that every step of their process is documented? So as we interact with that practice, we know what they're doing. We know what we're supposed to be doing. It's all documented. If we have staff turnover, this allows us to kind of really make sure that any new staff on our team is also trained and up to speed the same way. So again, SOPs, huge benefit for your practice. And really, even though it's, you know, something that's going to take time to create and do, it's going to be something that really benefits your practice long after you've spent the time to create these. So now we're going to talk about four different types of policies and procedures that you can set up that are going to impact your revenue and your billing process and really kind of enable your front office staff to have an easier time with their process. The first is patient registration and eligibility. Having a single process or procedure for your front office staff that really outlines how you register patients, what information you collect, what forms you use, and how that all is used to check eligibility, which we talked about over the last few weeks. We've talked a lot about insurance eligibility. And so being able to take your process, write every step down so that you can figure out how you're going to capture those patients and that patient's information, where it goes, when do you get that information from the patient, and is that something that you're collecting on that first phone call? Are you sending out forms? Where do the forms get sent out to? What's your document control around those forms? So everybody's using the same form. Basically, having this all organized in one spot is going to allow you, again, to have a standardization of processes around how you do it, allows you to be able to train new front office staff and to ensure that everybody's doing stuff the same way. Now, every EMR PM software is unique. So it's going to be critical that you identify the specific process step by step and, okay, I'm gathering this information from the patient the first time they call, you know, that first day we're doing eligibility verification, or we're doing that 1 to 2 days before the patient comes in and we're having the patients sign these forms when they come in for that first visit. We're managing any eligibility issues at that time. And the other thing your office can do is really identify any patient responsibility ahead of time, right? Again, we've talked about this, the copays, deductibles, coinsurance. And so if you're able to outline those things that your front office staff does the best way, then you can create that sample script even for your front office to use with the patients when they call in, or a sample script for when the patients come in and check in. And this may not be necessary for your more seasoned staff, but we all recognize that new employees come on board. And if we have that sample script for them to start with, then they can really understand how you handle things, how you talk to your patients about copays, deductibles, and coinsurance, how you define those, so that then when they're, you know, doing this on their own and maybe they're not training anymore, you have some confidence that everything's being done the right way and the same way, even with some of your new employees as compared to your seasoned employees who've been there a long time. The second policy you can create, and even if you create one standard operating procedure for your front office, this can be part of it, and that's prior authorization. I know there's lots of questions about prior authorization, and so it's really important that the front office staff have a policy and procedure around when they have to do prior authorizations, who they need to do that for, which payers they need to do that for. This is especially true for surgical subspecialties, and this is something that you really want to have a solid process around getting that done ahead of time, making sure that that's documented. Where do you document that? Do your billers know where to go find that information? Making sure that all of that crosses over to the claims and making sure that that is a solid process with your front office as well as your billers. So again, having that prior authorization, eligibility checking, patient registration, gathering the demographics, all of that information in one simple policy so that your front office staff and any new trained front office staff know where to go. And this is also something that, you know, if you change billing companies, you can hand over to them and go, hey, here's our solid process. This is what this looks like. Let me know if you have any questions or feedback. The third policy or part of a policy that you can add is the out-of-network piece. And this is something that I often see practice go, well, I think we know what plans we're credentialed with, or we kind of have this floating list on this, you know, a couple different stickies. And yeah, our staff know, but then what if you get new staff? And so having a really solid process around, these are the payers we accept, these are the plans we accept. And then more importantly, how do you manage patients that are out of network? Are you telling them, sorry, we can't see you, or sorry, we can see you, but only under these conditions? Or how do we create an estimate for these patients? Because you guys know, now that the No Surprises Act is here, we have to be really intentional about cost estimates and having them document acknowledgement, have a signed form. And so having all of those parts of the process laid out so that you can make sure that, you know, if they are out of network, how do you manage that? How do you bill for that? Do you not bill for that? Do you give them the EOB? All of these kind of questions come up so that, you know, you want to have some decisions around this. So it takes the guesswork out of things. It also, if there's one person in your office who knows the answers to these things and they get them to write all of this down, then it also makes it to where they're not the only person that people are coming to for the answers. And number four is patient payments. The last policy and procedure that is super critical, which really goes along with the theme of today, is patient payment policies. This is really where you outline both how you identify copays, deductibles, and coinsurance for your patients, right? What they owe, and that's part of that eligibility process. But then it's taking that a step further and saying, okay, we found out in the eligibility process that the patients owe XYZ, then how do you capture that payment? Is that when the patient checks in, which you guys know is the best practice? How do you explain that information to patients? What is the script your staff uses in order to outline the definitions of each of those, right? A lot of patients come in, they're not really entirely clear what a deductible is. What is coinsurance? And so being able to have a script for new staff or have some expectations that really outline, we're going to capture these and collect these when at the time the patient comes into the office. And then that helps us decrease our patient payment that they owe, you know, after statements are sent out. And so this is a really critical part that kind of sums up today, right? And if you're looking for patient pamphlet examples that kind of help outline those definitions, help your front staff understand those, we do have some patient pamphlets that you can hand out to your patients. They can understand that. You can even train your staff with those. And we are going to do in one of our billing mastermind classes, we're going to do one where we just talk about this. And I highly encourage, you know, this is going to be a good opportunity to invite your front office staff, see if they can come and listen and we can ask questions. And so we'll probably have that probably later this spring. We've got a couple of our other courses ahead of that. And so again, if you're looking for the patient pamphlets, or if you're looking to sign up for the billing mastermind that kind of goes over everything from basic billing processes to some basic coding to how you manage AR to how you do your billing metrics to front office staff training, head over to nationalrevenueconsulting.com and you can sign up under billing mastermind. And the patient pamphlets are also there just under the tab patient pamphlets, and you can order those for your patients and to help train your front office staff. So again, the more your front office staff understands these terms, the more likely they're going to explain it to the patients, and then more likely that you're going to get paid the money that patients owe upfront. The next part of the patient payment policy is really that part where you can actually hand something to your patients that outlines your expectations about after a patient statement has come out, right? So we've collected our copays, deductibles, and coinsurance. We did that before check-in, but there's still a balance due. So how do we manage that? And so some practices will keep credit cards on file. Some will, you know, send a statement every month. And then some will even, you know, have a policy where if you haven't paid in 120 days or 90 days even, that the patients need to go to collections. And I'm not here to kind of talk the pros and cons about that. There are pros and cons to each of those. However, if you know you're explaining to your patients about why they need to be paying and when they need to be paying, that's only going to help them pay more timely. And then maybe you won't have as many issues with patients who aren't paying their bills. things like, when do you write off balances? Do you do that, you know, after the patient's statement is X old? You know, is that after 12 months? Is that after 18 months? Is that under a certain dollar amount? Hey, if it's under $10 and it's been over 120 days, we're going to write off that small balance. How do you manage all of those little things? Not only is that important for your front office staff to understand, but that's also important for your billing team to understand. So this kind of part of the policy where you can explain that to your patients, have them sign off on that, especially if you are keeping credit cards on file in order to say charge their card on file after 60 or 90 days, you need to have them sign off on all of that and make sure that you're doing that in a compliant manner. So again, this is the part of the policy where your staff can be easily educated, your patients can be easily educated, you can step through each of those processes regarding patient payments so that you can keep that patient AR low. So last week we talked about goals. And if you made those goals regarding something in your billing process, this is going to be the week where we take those goals and we say, okay, how can I then write standard operating procedures or SOPs for those critical areas of my billing process so I can keep my billing metrics looking good? And again, if you're not looking at your billing metrics, go stem with your billers, go look at the billing metrics. All of this kind of adds up into things that are going to help your practice succeed, help you guys grow your revenue, and make sure that you're going to be proud of the way things look at the end of the year. Last thing I'll say is if you're enjoying this podcast, share with your staff. We are hoping to reach as many healthcare team members as possible. So if you can, take a few minutes, go over to Apple Podcasts to leave us a review. You can go into the podcast app, search for RevMD, scroll down to the bottom and you'll find a place where you can leave a review. We really appreciate it and it only takes a few seconds. All right, have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.